Blog Talk Radio.
Enabling us to hold truths for all distress, Lord.
remember us in these times, and let the cry Hosanna arise often in our hearts. Let a bright light shine out now as you once let it shine around the Lord Jesus, showing him as King and Savior. Protect us and bless us. Bless our land and all those appointed to govern. May your spirit be with them so they may carry out your will, Lord. For your will must be done and shall surely happen, Lord. In this we trust and in this we hope. We praise you, O Lord God. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Okay, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's get back into some music. Okay? Let's play Holy Roar by Chris Tomlin. Here we go.
Thank you.
title song here by Crowder versus featuring Taya. A song called Crushing Snakes. Here we go.
Thank you. Mercy is a song singing to my heart, telling me it's okay. The one that's singing over me, and I just wanna sing along. Mercy is a song, freedom is a cry.
Mama told me we're worlds apart. Her mama told her don't need a bar. So it starts with me.
understand. So it starts with me. I was ready for this, just in my heart. Mama told me we're worlds apart. Her mama told her don't need a father. So it starts with me. Cause we can be free, yeah, yeah, I know that. We try to fix the things that's been broken. We can be free, yeah, yeah, I know that. It starts with me.
And destroy. John Calvin explained that the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, tied his hands, so the ninth commandment tied his tongue. If all of us were so tongue-tied. God considers lying serious business. There are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, a man who sows discord among brothers. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. So lying lips are the abomination of the Lord, Proverbs 12:22. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment, Proverbs 12:19. The bread gained by deceit is sweet by to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Beginning of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and snare of death. Proverbs 21, verse 6. Okay, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, okay, and all the liars, a portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. So lying is more widespread than we care to consider. There is bias in the media. There is misrepresentation among advertisers. There are false promises from politicians. And there is gossip over the back fence. Amen? So let's look at the liability of lying. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 20:16 again. A lie can forfeit a life, or it can destroy a reputation. They do this by subverting our fundamental requirement for civilization. Trust, if you do not trust our neighbors, then no relationship between us can exist. In the place of lying, we find that truth stabilizes relationships. Listen to Jesus' summation of the characters of lies and their origin. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and a father of lies. That's John chapter 8, verse 44. So Satan slithered into the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve listened to the lies of Satan. In Genesis 3:1, Satan began there to put a question mark upon the word of God. Satan has promoted lies since that day. Every time you lie, you're acting like the devil. Satan has spawned a number of children. Let's quickly examine the six children of Satan. Perjury is one of the devil's children. This commandment first referenced was the court of law at Athens. The false witness was liable to a heavy fine, and if convicted for three lies, okay, they lost all civil rights. At Rome, by a law of the 12 tables, he was hurled headlong from the Typhon Rock. In Egypt, false witnesses were punished by amputation of the nose and ears. Each day, individual Israelites gave testimony through the legal process. This commandment aims to prohibit a false witness inside the courtroom. Closing arguments are underway in that Casey Anthony murder trial. Okay, the young 25-year-old lady is accused of killing her 2-year-old daughter. Her parents must have said they do not believe their daughter is innocent. Much is being said in the courtroom as Casey accuses her parents and her parents accuses her. It's obvious that somebody is lying, and much is at stake when the jury begins to deliberate on the testimony of the parents. You see, you should not spread a false report. You should not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You should not fall into the many that do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with many so as to pervert justice, nor shall you be a partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. That's Exodus verses 20, verses 1 to 3. So this commandment simply aims to establish truth first in the courtroom. Sitting a witness was a very important in the Old Testament times. In courtroom justice, there were no lawyers, no prosecutors, no evidence, no detectives. Everything could depend on the words of a witness. Naboth, I told the story last week, was killed because two witnesses accused him of blasphemy against God and the king. Okay, that's in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 13. Remember, it was false witnesses spoke at the trial of Jesus that brought about his death at Matthew 26, verses 60 to 61. No wonder Proverbs says, a man who bears false witness against a neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. See, the Old Testament set up rules in court against lying witnesses. For example, the testimony of just one witness was insufficient for pronouncing a death sentence. The witness against a man were the first person to throw stones when carrying out the sentence. To throw a stone at someone to cause his or her death caused more courage than a few lying words. If a witness was found to be lying, then they would receive the same punishment the accused would have received. So perjury is a serious matter. A man killed a spotted owl for food. He stated that he had gotten lost in the woods and needed food. Forest ranger arrested the man for eating a spotted owl, an animal on the endangered species list. He stood before the judge, okay, and told the story. The judge dismissed the charges and asked the man how the spotted owl tasted. The man said, much like a bald eagle, but truth-telling extends beyond the walls of a courtroom. Telling the truth extends into our casual conversations, our emails, and our preaching. Dishonesty comes in all different sizes. Another child of the devil is a rumor. A rumor is a story that is not true. There are never benign and always malignant. Rumors expand from person to person. Someone has said that a rumor can travel halfway around the world before the truth can get its boost on. We need to remove rumors from our conversation. People say, I'm not the one who starts these rumors. It's the people who are telling them to me. A person who tells a rumor has a devil in his tongue, but the person who hears a rumor has a devil in his ear. Rumors assassinate a person's character when we are indiscriminately passed on information. Here are a few questions to ask yourself about rumors and gossip. Is what I am about to say true? If so, does it need to be said to this person? If this person were here, would I be talking this bad? So don't let rumors be named among the people of God. Another child of the devil is flattery. Flattery is forbidden. I'm not speaking of encouragement. We should be encouraging to one another. If someone does a good job, we should say so. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 26, verse 28. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. That's Psalms chapter 55, verse 21. Have you ever met people like this? Flattery is saying something to your face they will not say behind your back. Flattery is trying to manipulate you and use you. Another child of the devil is insinuation. The Bible also refers to this as whisperings. Whisperings is an illustrative word. The person who insinuates does so by an arch of an eyebrow, by the smirk of a face, or by the shrug of the shoulders. You can insinuate someone against someone simply by being silent when you should speak. Insinuation is saying one thing and meaning another. God knows the motives of your heart. Another child of the devil is slander. Slander is another form of gossip, an evil form of lying. This is an indiscriminately passing along tales, whether they are true or not. No matter if it's true or a lie, God has not given us the right to pass along information. God deliver our church from gossip. We need to be everything we can to smother the flames of slander. Okay, ask God to help keep your mouth closed, but not only your mouth, but your ears. You can be arrested for receiving stolen goods, passing them along. Asking that person who tells you the juicy piece of information, if you can quote them on this, don't allow your ears to become garbage cans for gossip. The last child of the devil is silence. You can lie not only by what you say, but what you don't say. We tell half-truths rather than being a positive, a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can run like the disciples of the cross of Christ. We can hide when the heat is on and run for the shadows. This is hiding in the truth. Sometimes sins need to be confronted. When this is the case, we need to remember, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head into Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Where were those disciples when Jesus died? They were simply silent. You can be simply silent when you don't speak up and when someone is maligned. You can share a good word or when you don't share the witness. Some say silence is golden. Yes, but sometimes silence is just plain yellow. Jay Strack was witnessing to a Boudin shepherd about Christ, but that Boudin shepherd said, "I know you're keeping yourself from committing the sin in the desert." Jay said, "What is the sin of the desert? The sin of the desert is knowing where there is water and not telling someone else where it is. We know where the water of life resides. We must not commit the sin of silence." Secondly, the motives for lying. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 to 27, the authority of Jesus is challenged by the chief priests and elders. Excuse me. "By what authority do you do these things?" Before he answers them, he gives them a test to see if they really love the truth or whether they were trying to trip him up. He asks the baptism of John, where did it come from heaven or from man? Now we come watch a lie in the making. We can see what desires go into making a lie. It says in verse 25, "But the chief priests argued with one another and said, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, well, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from a man, we are afraid of a crowd, for all they have told John was a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority do I do things.' The chief priests and the elders failed the test. With the desire for the instead of the truth, it is for a personal esteem and physical safety. They are controlled by two kinds of fear. First, they fear getting an egg in their faces and losing the esteem of the people. They fear being shown wrong. We see this in verse 25. They conclude that they can't answer Jesus' question by saying John's baptism is from heaven. Why, if they answer truthfully, it will give Jesus a chance to show them an inconsistency. Why, then, do you not believe him? So they are driven toward a lie by the desire for the esteem of men and the fear of having to admit an inconsistency. The second kind of fear that controls them is fear of physical harm. Physical safety is more important than the truth. We see this in verse 26. They can't answer that John's baptism is from men because the multitude believed John was a prophet, and so the people might get mad and stone the priest. So they are evasive and diplomatic, or as some say, political." So we see the origin of a lie in at least two kinds of fear: fear of losing personal esteem and fear of getting physically hurt. But note well, these desires for safety and esteem are deceitful desires. Satan is deceiving the chief priest. It's a lie that a popular esteem is to be desired more than speaking the truth. It's a lie that physical safety is to be desired more than speaking the truth. Ask the martyrs. Listen to Jesus. Don't run from persecution. Okay, by lying or evading testimony of truth, what does he say? Blessed are you when men persecute you for righteousness' sake. So the reliability of the truth. In the place of lying, we find that the truth stabilizes relationship. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar of truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. So we know we are supposed to tell the truth, but what does that look like? In 1 Kings 22, tells the story of two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat. These two kings of Israel and Judah were going to war, and they wanted to know if God would give them victory in their efforts. So they called together 400 prophets who said, "Go up, for the Lord, or he will give it to the hand of the king." The kings must have been a little skeptical of 400 preachers agreeing with one another, without so much as one dissent. So the king asked, "There was not a prophet who disagreed." 1 Kings 28, and by the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may acquire the Lord, Micah the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then now when the messenger sent for the prophet Micah, he warned them that all of Ahab's prophets had already prophesied his success. He warned him that he should add his own blessing as well. But watch carefully the prophet's reaction. "As the Lord lives, the Lord says to me that I will speak. Again, Micah correctly prophesied the military campaign would end in defeat for the two kings. Prophet number 401 received a reward of a punch in the face and a stint in prison for his services. So here's four lessons we can learn from this story. One, it's better to be divided by truth than united in error. I love unity. The Bible loves unity, but don't sacrifice unity for the sake of truth. Second, it's better to tell the truth that hurts than heals than to tell a lie and comforts and then kills. Rough truth is better than polished falsehood. Thirdly, it's better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. Tell your children that telling the truth will not get you elected and most popular, but telling the truth caused Jesus to be crucified. Okay? And four, it's better to stand alone in the truth than to be wrong with the multitude. So remember, Micah was opposed by 400 preachers. That's the end of our sermon for tonight. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you let light shine out of every day and every year. Thank you that we may always look to you, whose right hand will bring order into everything and set all things right, even in difficult times, Lord. May our hearts receive strength to persevere and go on praising you. For you remain, no matter what happens on earth, Lord, you are our God. You have sent us the Savior, and we can draw close to you, Lord. You have made us the firm promise that your day is coming when truth and justice will arise on earth in the glory of your name, Lord. May the hearts of many people turn to you so they will worship you and call to you for your help, Lord, to the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this brings us down to the most important question of all. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, you will have a chance to do so tonight. Are you tired of walking around aimlessly, not knowing where to go, or which way is up, or what's going on? Okay, maybe you're suffering from anxiety or depression. Maybe you're suffering from an addiction, such as alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, or overeating. You see, God can take care of that. But in order for him to do so, he's got to know you. So if he doesn't know you, how is he going to help you? So I ask you, are you ready to let Jesus come into your life? If so, please say this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to say thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the precious, almighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. And may we say, may the Lord keep you highly favored. Amen. Alrighty. Well, let's play a song here. Okay, it's called Oh Come to the Altar by Elevation Worship. Here we go.
Thank you.
come to the altar. Well, we just did the altar call. Okay, and I hope and pray that many of you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart tonight. Okay? Now let's go with a song by Ren Collective called Every Giant Will Fall.
When I walk
Amen. Alrighty, well, let's play another great song here. It's by Urban Rescue. It's called Never Stop. Here we go. song now called Joy of the Lord, okay, by Ren Collective. Here we go.
Thank you.
Well, this brings to a close of the show, okay? So let us bow our head, okay, in final prayer. Lord God, we thank you for filling our hearts with such great trust, Lord. We thank you for all we're given in our lives, Lord. Above all that, we can come to know Jesus Christ. We thank you that over and over we can draw strength and light from his life, Lord. Praise to your name for our life as a goal, and we may find strength and certainty during the time on earth. Amen. You reveal what hope's for, and even now you allow us to keep something of this goal before our eyes, Lord. We praise you that your name may become great in our midst, and that again and again new life can well up from us, Lord, who are poor and weak, Lord. May your name be praised for setting this goal before us to strengthen us. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to end this with one more song. It's called Build Your Kingdom Here by Ren Collective. Here we go.
Come. Cheers.
say God bless you. May the Lord keep you highly favored. And until tomorrow night, hopefully Pastor Wanda will be able to do her show tomorrow. It's titled Women of God, Daughters of a King. And if she doesn't, then, well, I'll be here. And I'll have a sermon just in case. Okay, it'll be the last. It'll be the last in the series of the Ten Commandments. It'll be, you shall not covet. Okay, so. Okay, until tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Have a blessed night. Bye bye.